115. Psalm 115. The theme of the 115th Psalm is the greatness, the supremacy, the majesty, the goodness of God. The design of the psalm is to expose the vanity of idols, to encourage trust and confidence in the Lord, to excite God's people to live for the glory and praise of God. We see in verse 3, it's a psalm of contrast. We see in verse 3 the words, "our God." In verse 4, we see the words, "their idols." And the psalm draws a contrast, of course, between the two, our God, their idols. And in this, we are encouraged to, verses 9 through 11, to anchor our lives to the Lord. We want to read verse 15. "You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." That is, those who have God as their God, they are blessed of the Lord. The very first word, "ye," that would be the subject and the recipient of the act spoken of. It says, "ye are." And that would be passive voice. In other words, the subject is the subject, "ye," is being acted upon by an outside power. And it is present tense. So it's ongoing. It's a repeated action. "Ye are being blessed of the Lord." So it says, "ye are blessed," that is, endowed, benefited, "of," that's a preposition designating the position or way of the blessing, "the Lord." He, of course, is the bestower of the blessing. "Which," that would refer back to the Lord, which made heaven and earth, which declares the greatness of the one who blesses. And the reason it's spoken of here is to emphasize the greatness of the blessing. So it is Creator God has, does, and will bless. "Ye are blessed," ye are being blessed of the Lord. And He is the Creator of heaven and earth. The God of creation, of course, is sovereign. The God of creation is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's mindful of His creation. He's interested in His creation. Creator God can do as He pleases. And the amazing thing is, it has pleased Him to bless us. "Ye are blessed of the Lord." That's a wonderful thought, that it has pleased God to bless us. It has pleased God to bless us as individuals. The "ye" here is not a general "ye" so much, or it's not an ambiguous "ye," but it's a very particular "ye." We as individuals are personally blessed of God. "Ye are blessed of the Lord." I can put my name in the place of "ye." I personally am blessed of the Lord. Blessed of the Lord in the physical realm. More importantly, blessed of the Lord in the spiritual realm. I'm blessed of the Lord. Now, this message will be a little different than the norm, in that I'm going to reminisce a bit. I've been doing that a lot the last several weeks. And as I view my life, I see two major segments. And in both segments, I can say with absolute confidence, I am blessed of the Lord. The two segments, of course, would be my unsaved life. That would be from 1954 to 1972. And then the other segment, of course, would be my saved life, which would be 1972 to present. And in both, I see the providential care of the Lord. I see God working in my life. In the segment of my saved life, there are several divisions. And each one I can look back and see the amazing providence of God. And I know that I am blessed of the Lord. As I look back on my saved life mostly, I can also see it in my unsaved life, but in my saved life, I can see myself in the potter's hand. And he's molding and shaping me. Still not what I ought to be, but he's still working. He's still molding, still shaping. And I can say I am blessed of the Lord. As I've told you many times, the Lord saved me on February 17th, 1972. And there was an immediate and radical change. It was an immediate change. A radical change. Not knowing any better, I went to the Baptist church in our neighborhood, which was Streamwood, and I had an overwhelming desire to serve the Lord with my life, but I didn't know how. So I went to the pastor of that church, and he immediately told me, well, you need to go to Bible college. So I thought, okay, that's what I'll do. If that's what I have to do to serve the Lord, then you don't have to do that to serve the Lord. But I thought at that time, if that's what I have to do, off I went. And I wasn't there long. And again, I still had this desire. I want to serve the Lord. And at that time, people talked about full-time Christian service. So I decided, well, I'll be a coach and history teacher in a Christian school. That's what I want to do. And so I began to study in that direction. Not knowing any better, what I was doing was I was planning and I was choosing. I was determining how I would serve the Lord, how I wanted to serve the Lord. Well, and in spite of the theology that was being presented in that school, the Lord in His providence began to teach me the truth about what really happened on February 17th, 1972. And He began to teach me concerning His greatness. He began to show me things about the Lord's church. He would lead me through His providence to a mission work, meeting in a home, which would become Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood. And the Lord continued to teach me, giving me more and more knowledge and love for the truth, making me more zealous for the truth. But you see, I was still planning on how I was going to serve the Lord. But at some point in 1975, I began to feel the Lord calling me to preach. But it's not what I wanted to do. I already determined what I wanted to do. And that went on for some time. But it was an overwhelming and effectual call, with the Lord bringing me to the point where I surrendered, if you will. And that would begin the ministerial segment of my life. And the Lord would, in His gracious providence, would bring Sharon and I together. She would become the most important person in my life and my best friend. And we were married in 1977. And I am blessed of the Lord. The Lord has been so good, given me a wife who loves the Lord, who is a godly woman with biblical convictions, who has faithfully and courageously stood beside me when it wasn't easy, and encouraged me sacrificially through the years in the ministry. And she has sacrificed in sharing her husband, as my children have sacrificed in sharing their father. The ministry is very difficult and can be very lonely at times. That's something a lot of people don't understand, but it can be very lonely at times. But we've always had each other, always. I am blessed of the Lord. The ministry has many trials, many heartaches, many wounds. If you can't get over the trials and the heartaches and the wounds, you're not going to last. You have to get past those things. And we have been through those things together. I could tell you a lot of stories, but I'm not going to. There have been storms, there have been valleys, there have been sorrows, there have been heartaches, there have been anguish, and turmoil, and burdens, pressures, and again, wounds, many lost friendships through the years. There have been discouragements, but through it all, there's always been that well in the desert to drink from. It's always been there. And there's always been a table prepared and spread in the wilderness for us to feast upon. And there's always been those handfuls on purpose from God. And as I've pastored, I have seen the ravages of sin in the lives of people. I've seen what sin can do in the lives of people. I've seen families destroyed by sin. Individuals destroyed. And at the same time, I've seen great saints of God, faithful men and women, godly men and women, suffer terribly with disease. And I've seen time and time again, dear and precious, faithful saints of God, people that I have loved so much, leave this life. And I have preached their funerals. And God's grace has been sufficient. I have been blessed to see souls saved. It's been a while, but I've been blessed to see souls saved. I've been blessed to see souls revived. I've seen children of God grow. God has been so good. I've been so blessed. God has given me the privilege of pastoring some great saints of God. Some are sitting here. Friends of God. Friends of the Lord's church. Friends of the truth. God's been so good to me. As I said this morning, God has given me mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, my earthly family, cousins, and so on, have very little to do with me, have very little desire for me to be around. But I have many brothers and sisters in Christ. There were times when we did not know how or what to do, many times, and the Lord blessed like only He can. It's irritated people through the years from time to time when they will say, "What are you going to do about that?" And I'll say, "Well, I'm going to wait on the Lord, and when He tells me what to do, I'll do it." Well, it just burns them up. But the Lord's taught me that. I'll just wait on the Lord. And if that upsets you, so be it. But that's the best way. Just wait upon God. There were again, the majority of my life has now been in the ministry with my God-given partner. Sharon and I, under the authority of Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood, did mission work in the town of Hanover Park. That means nothing to you. We did that for a while, not very long. The Lord never saw fit to organize a work there. I think there was only one lady that ever came. And He would eventually lead us to the town of Woodridge, Illinois. Again, that doesn't mean anything to you. To do mission work. And the Lord blessed there. And we met in a bank building, and the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church was organized from that mission work, and we pastored there from 1977 to 1982. In 1982, the Lord called us to pastor Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood. Some of the members at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Woodridge at that time joined the church in Streamwood. It was almost like a merger of two churches. But I look back, and again, we were in Streamwood until 1999. And I look back upon those years, and I, from 1977 to 1999, and I see the Lord teaching, training, and molding me. And the Lord so graciously blessed. Calls such men as Brother Don Titus, Brother Eugene Clark, Brother Harold Harvey, Brother Mitchell Smith, Brother Lee Hamill. The Lord, for some reason, calls these men to take an interest in me, and they watched out for me, watched over me, told me what I didn't want to hear from time to time, all in their own way. But it was God who sent those men into my life. And as I look back on 1977 to 1999, there were many wonderful times, people. There were also some of the most ornery, mean-spirited, and difficult people that I've ever encountered in my life. But God was molding me, there's no doubt. During that time, God was molding me, and I looked back at the opposition, and I looked back at those who would challenge and debate almost everything that I preached. I could say the sky was blue and they'd argue, or the grass was green. They looked for opportunities to stand in the way. But looking back, I see that God was giving me biblical conviction. He was entrenching me in the truth of God's Word. He was giving me perseverance. And He was teaching me how to study. So, through 1999, 22 years, the Lord allowed Sharon and I to serve the Lord in the area that we grew up in, area that we were very familiar with. And again, though there were some wonderful and encouraging saints of God during that time, I believe that God allowed me to pastor those 22 years to fight many battles, to oppose many enemies of God in order to be established in the faith. It was my training ground. But in 1999, the Lord would move us from Zor Baptist Church to in Cunningham. Personally, I was worn out, exhausted, just tired. And God knew what I needed. God always knows what He's doing. And God sent us to Zor Baptist Church, where He gave me the rest, the refreshment, the reviving that I needed to continue to serve God. That was God's way of keeping me in the ministry, because I had about had it. God moved me there for that reason, I have no doubt. We were only there for 4.5 years. Our shortest pastorate. But God had us there for what I needed, what they needed at the time. Then in 2003, Brother Titus retired. And I remember a church member at Zor coming up to me and saying, they had better not call you. And I remember saying to her, I said, I don't believe you have to worry about that. Just don't worry about it. And I was as happy as I could be at Zor. And in my own mind, I could not imagine the Lord calling me to go anywhere else. And then, of course, the Lord led the church here to call us to come in view of a call. And I don't remember what month it was that Brother Art called me, but maybe the first part of August, I don't remember. But I remember telling him it'd be several weeks before I could possibly come, and probably be best if you just move on to the next person. And he said, we'll wait till you can come. And eventually we came, Labor Day weekend, 2003. And I don't know how many of you remember the questioning and all that. It was quite lengthy due to some events that were occurring at that time. And I remember thinking on the way home, there's no way. There is absolutely no way that they're going to call us. What I was doing was convincing myself that I had done what the Lord wanted me to do in coming in view of a call. We'd gotten that out of the way. And everything was fine now. And then the Lord led you to call as pastor, and I do believe the Lord led. And oh, what a struggle I had. That afternoon that Brother Art called, I almost had a heart attack when he told me that you all had voted to call us as pastor. And after several days of praying, And I'll be honest, just trying to convince myself to stay where I was. I finally said to Lord, I was in my car in lunch hour, and I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Home Baptist Church, you're going to have to show me right now, and you're going to have to make it as plain as possible, or I'm not going. And it was right then the Lord made it plain. And I had immediate assurance. And I had immediate peace. And I wanted to come. And that leads us to Philippians 1, where we were this morning, where Paul is reflecting upon and giving thanks for his time with the Philippian church. In verse 5, he's thanking God for the blessed fellowship with them, and he says, from the first day until now. From the first day until now. And I thank God from the first day until now, because I know it's been of God. I know that. I have absolutely no doubt about that. And I thank God for the first day until now. Has it always been easy? Of course not. But I thank God from the first day until now. Because again, I look back and I see myself in the hand of the potter. And again, he's molded and shaped me, preparing me for what's next. I don't know what's next, only he knows. But I do know that he has already molded and prepared me for what's next, just as he has molded and prepared you for what's next. But think upon those words, from the first day until now. When Sharon and I first came here, we knew of most of you. A few people we knew, but we knew of most of you just from conferences. We knew of you. Didn't really know you. But from the first day until now, we've come to know you very well. I remember struggling with remembering everybody's name when we first came. I would have to whisper, what's her name? What's his name? Again, from the first day until now, we have worshiped together, and I thank God. From the first day until now, we have assembled with you in Sunday school, in the Sunday school hour, in the Sunday morning and Sunday evening service, and Wednesday evening. And I thank God. From the first day until now. From the first day until now, we have shared burdens, shared prayer requests, and prayed together. And I thank God. And I am blessed of the Lord. From the first day until now, many events have transpired. When we first came here, we had some issues right off the bat. Some serious things. Many events have transpired. There have been joyful and blessed occasions. We have rejoiced together, and we thank the Lord. There have been sorrowful and heartbreaking occasions, wayward children, etc. And we have wept together, and we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord. From the first day until now, many of our church members have gone home to be with the Lord. And I made a list. And I hope I haven't missed anyone. If so, I apologize. Sister Blanche Darlington, Charles Durham, Marjorie Durham, Sister Lila Eaton, I'm going alphabetically, Renee Ellithorpe, Sharon's mom, Jerry Harris, Rich Harris, Brother Don Hubbs, Audrey Conrad, Betty Melton, Sister Blanche Stone, Brother Ed Stone. Brother Ed Stone, because of medicine, would get very, very anxious late at night. Late at night, early in the morning. And one day, Sister Stone was telling me about it. I said, well, just give me a call. I'll go over and see if I can talk to him. And we had wonderful fellowship. I mean, he'd get calmed down and we could talk. And there's Brother Ed Stone, Brother Howard Stratton, Brother Titus, Sister Titus, Dave Titus. 17 in all. And as I look over that list, I was there for all but two when they passed. I was in the room when they took their final breath and went home to be with the Lord. That creates a bond. That's a bond you do not forget. And then there have been many loved ones of our church members. We're not church members, but they were loved ones of our church members. And they have passed. And if I counted right, there were 18 of those. My point is, we've experienced most of those deaths together. And that creates a bond. That creates a lifelong bond. There have been sicknesses. There's been emergency room times. Many, many surgeries. There have been difficulties. There have been trials. And we've experienced them all together. So that, again, creates a lifelong bond. From the first day until now, there have been some battles. There have been some struggles. There have been some enemies. And we've stood together in those times. We thank the Lord. It strengthens the bond that I have counseled with some of your children and grandchildren who are not members. That also strengthens the bond. They all contribute to this bond of heart. From the first day until now, we have experienced the goodness of God together. We've experienced the blessings of God together. And we thank the Lord. He's the one who orchestrated it all. He's the one that put it all together. So we thank Him. From the first day until now, by God's help, I have always tried to have a table spread for you every single time that we assembled. It's very upsetting to me when a pastor isn't prepared to preach. That disturbs me. I've tried very, very hard to always have a table ready when we assemble. And I pray that you have feasted. And from the first day until now, I have stressed over and over the heart and a personal relationship with the Lord. We have stressed that over the outward. Not that the outward isn't important, but you have to have a right heart. You have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. That is the foundation to the outward. And I pray that you have received that message. 17 years, that's been the emphasis. That's been the emphasis of my ministry, probably with the exception of the first 5 years. I hope you've received that message, because that's what you need to continue on. That personal relationship with the Lord. I have tried to stress there needs to be a personal love to the Lord. And that is the foundation of what you do. It is out of love for the Lord. It's not to make brother or sister so-and-so happy. It's not to make the pastor happy. It's because you love the Lord. I'm going to serve Him because I love Him. That's a foundation. It's a solid foundation. And it's that foundation that will carry you through. I have stressed over and over the importance of personal daily Bible study. I've tried to show, and I've tried to show people throughout my ministry to how to read God's Word. I hope you missed some of the English lessons. But how to study, how to read God's Word. The importance of noticing every single word in a verse. And again, I pray that you receive that message, because that too will carry you through. I look back at the first day and I look at now, and I see where many have grown spiritually. Sharon and I talk about it often. Those that we have seen marked spiritual growth. That's a blessing. I want to see people grow spiritually. There are some, I'll just be honest, I haven't seen any. But that's the Lord's business. But we thank God for the growth that we have seen. And we always pray for continual spiritual growth. I'm thankful to God that He has brought us together. So thankful. No doubt in my mind that it was of the Lord. I can remember back in the 80s driving to Michigan a conference, and I think I told Sharon one time the Lord would have to pick me up and set me in this state before I'd ever come to the state of Michigan. And He did. And He did. I'm thankful that God has brought us together. I am blessed of the Lord. God has made you a part of my life. And I thank God. I thank God for that. Because it has been a part of the wonderful spiritual journey that God has blessed me with. God has blessed me with a wonderful life. wonderful spiritual journey. And you are some of the people that God has put in my life for that journey. And that'll never be forgotten. I'm blessed of God. And you are part of the blessed life that God has given me. And we love you all so much. And we will continue to do so. And we will continue to always pray for God's blessings to be bestowed upon you. And as I've said several times, and I believe you know this, and I believe you believe it, follow the Lord. Seek the Lord's will. And God will give you the best pastor that you can have for the time. I believe that with all of my heart. But you have to seek Him. Don't let anything else get in the way. Just seek the Lord. However long it takes, it's not a race. Just be sure this is who the Lord wants us to have. And He'll make it plain. And He'll make it plain to the individual, whoever that individual is. He'll make it plain. And God will bless. But again, we pray that the Lord would bless the work in Streamwood. That whatever happens there, we will pray for you. And you pray for us. And again, we're just thankful for the time that God has given us. It's not quite over yet, but we're thankful. God is good. God is so good. As you just look at your life, and God is so good. And Brother Titus was here 38 years, I believe. I've been here 17. That's 55 years. Only two pastors in 55. That's pretty good. Not a whole lot of churches that can say that. And, you know, I had some people tell me when I came here, oh, I wouldn't go there with a former pastor sitting there, especially Brother Titus. Brother Titus was nothing but a blessing, nothing but a help to me. And that was another one of the great blessings of my life. God used Brother Titus in mighty ways in my life. And I'm thankful. And I thought it was one of the greatest honors that I could possibly have, was to be able to worship together with Brother Titus in the same church. I count that as a great blessing. And I told everybody that I could, Brother Titus never, not one single time, caused me one bit of trouble. Never. Never. I'll say this and I'll be quiet. I do remember him saying to me the first Sunday I was here, as pastor, do you mind if I talk to you, if I disagree with you? And I said, no, Brother Titus, I don't mind at all. You know what? We never had that talk. We never did. But I think it made him feel good that he could talk to me just in case. But God's good. God bless your lives. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.